but beware, you're in for a scare. Goosebumps!
Ah, thank you, Jack Black, for Bumps Gonna Goose Ya. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have a very special guest this hour. You know him from his hundreds of books in the Goosebumps series and Fear Street. R.L. Stine is one of the best-selling children's authors in history. He's going to tell us a scary story. You get to ask him questions. How many Goosebumps books have you read? Which ones are your favorite? Do these books scare you? What do you think of Slappy the Dummy? What a fright. Do you cover your head with a blanket and get a flashlight for some parts? Let's talk about spooky stories, the ones you're reading. Maybe you're writing your own. Here comes the number. Help us out, grown-ups. 800-642-1234. Let's bring on R.L. Stine. But here's the cool thing. He told us we get to call him Bob. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Kate, hi. Nice to be here. It's good to hear Jack Black. You know, Jack is my evil twin.
Well, we just had to source some music from Goosebumps the movie. We couldn't help ourselves.
We love that. Jack and I, you know, people confuse us all the time.
Well, I would imagine they would, but, you know, Jack is pretty funny.
Yes.
And you're pretty scary. So I don't know.
I try.
Well, I heard that you have a bit of a scary story to get us in the mood. Can we hear it?
I will be delighted. I'm going to read you a very short story, and it's called Joe is Not a Monster. Joe is not a monster. Believe me, I know Joe better than anybody. Joe is a sweet guy. He is a pussycat. He wouldn't hurt a flea. How did the nasty rumors get started? I really don't know. Someone at Joe's school must have started them. Someone at Joe's school whispered to someone else that Joe was a monster, and the rumor spread. Now the whole school is against Joe. Kids are frightened by him. Kids laugh and point at him behind his back. The braver kids shout, "Hey, monster," when Joe walks past. Someone wrote monster on Joe's locker. Because of the ugly rumors, no one will hang out with Joe. Joe eats by himself in a corner of the lunchroom. No one will choose him for after-school soccer games. He has to stand and watch the games alone on the side of the field. No one will dance with him at the school dances. No one even talks to him in the halls. Yesterday, a big kid from the upper school punched Joe really hard in the chest and said, "Go away from here, monster." Joe cried all the way home. Let me tell you something about Joe. He is very hurt by these rumors. Joe has feelings, just like everyone else. Joe wants to have friends. He really wants people to like him. Joe is a nice guy. He's kind and generous. He has a great sense of humor. He can be a good friend. Joe didn't ask me to speak for him, but I'm speaking out anyway. I want to set things straight once and for all. Joe is not a monster. Not a monster. How do I know so much about Joe? Well, that question is easy to answer. No one is as close to Joe as I am. No one knows Joe better than I do, because I am Joe's second head.
Oh, my goodness, a second head. Well, you know, I do hear some bullying in there, which kids do, you know, find at school. That is an issue that is really, really bad.
Kate, they always pick on the two-headed kid.
Always.
Terrible, terrible thing.
Well, you know what? We have a Charlie in Madison who just can't wait to talk with you. Charlie, are you there?
All right. Yeah.
So what do you love about Goosebumps?
I like, since they're like scary and fun to read or listen to.
Okay.
Oh, right.
So what are you reading or listening to right now? What books are your favorite?
I like the Horrorland ones.
Okay. Why do you like those?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you
he
read
likes them? Because he likes the idea of a scary theme park. The idea of going to a park and being terrified.
So, Charlie, I understand that you had a talent show in first and second grade, and you did a little bit of a slappy performance. Is that right?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Good.
Yeah? Do you like Slappy the Villain, the dummy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to watch out for Slappy. He's evil. Not a good guy.
How did Slappy come about anyway, RL?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I was fascinated by puppets. I had a whole bunch of marionettes. And someone gave me a ventriloquist doll, and I worked his mouth and tried to come up with a funny act. And I guess I remembered that when I was trying to come up with a scary idea for a book.
Yeah. And then Slappy has really taken on a whole new life of Slappy his own. I mean, he goes everywhere in your books.
Slappy is everywhere. You know, the new Goosebumps books are called Goosebumps Slappy World. And Slappy tells the stories. I think I've written 14 books about a dummy. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
Where do you come up with your ideas? You know, when does
me.
It strike
no,
you?
No, Kate.
Oh.
Kate.
No, we got to go there.
No, I have no idea. I don't know. Kate, where do you get your ideas? Really? I have, you know, you never know when you're going to get an idea. One day I was walking my dog in the park, and these words flashed into my head. Say cheese and die. Why? Where did that come from? I'm just walking the dog. And there they were, say cheese and die. And I'm thinking, well, what if there's an evil camera and some kids find it and they start taking pictures with it? What would happen? And that's how that book got started. But that was just words popping into my head.
Words, sometimes, yeah, words yeah. just popping into your head, and who knows where those words will go. So when words like that pop into your head, do you scribble them down anywhere? Do you take them home with you?
I try to remember them.
Yeah.
You know, my books, I work kind of funny for different than most authors, because I always start with a title. I don't start with an idea. And people like, you know, say, where do you get your ideas? But I don't try to think of ideas. I only try to think of titles. And if I have a really good title, it will take me to a story. And I work kind of backwards from other authors, right?
Huh. That's very curious. Has it always worked that way for you?
Always. And sometimes if I have a good idea for a story and I can't think of a title for it, I throw out the idea. I have to have the title.
Well, that's completely backwards.
I know. That's I don't know. It's worked out, you know.
It's worked out hundreds of books later.
Yeah, it worked out okay.
Bob Stein, he's R.L. Stein on the cover of all of our Goosebumps stories. He's taking your calls about the books that haunt you. What are your questions for R.L. Stein about telling scary stories? Grown-ups, do you remember reading Goosebumps books as a kid? Did they make you a reader? Do you read them to your own kids now? Join in. Here's the number. Grown-ups, lend a hand. 800-642-1234. You can also email us. It's ideas@wpr.org. Count to 70. Count those ghosts. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, you're in for a treat and a scare. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have best-selling children's author R.L. Stein with us. You know him from his Goosebumps series over the decades. Slappy the Dummy has become the popular villain character in Goosebumps. There's even a Slappy World spinoff. So what do you think of Slappy? Slappy reminds me of a Howdy Doody puppet doll I had when I was a kid, and I kept the doll in the attic, and its face gave me the creeps. Can you speak like your voice is coming from a dummy, like a real ventriloquist? I can't. What are your favorite Goosebumps stories? What do you think of The Dummy Meets the Mummy? Here's the number, grown-ups, you too, 800-642-1234. And R.L. Stein stays with us, but he lets us call him Bob. Let's take another call now. Frank is with us from La Crosse. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Hi.
So my son grew up reading all of your books. He was a great fan, and
nice.
Read all of the Harry Potter ones. He had such a collection, and at some point when we were having a garage sale, I'd ask him if it was okay to sell them, and he said yes. And then years later, he's a pediatrician now, so he likes working with kids. He was disappointed to learn that they were all gone, because he wanted to go back and return to them. But my question for you, there were some suggestions, because you were so prolific, that some of your stories were ghostwritten.
I wish there were some ghosts. No, I'm here writing. I'm writing all the books. I never tried that. That would be scary for me. I like to write my own books.
What kind of pace do you keep, Bob? Like, how disciplined of a writer are you? How many hours do you write?
I'm kind of disciplined. I've written 350 books. That's pretty disciplined, right?
But
now I'm really on a much slower, relaxed pace. I'm only doing 4 Goosebumps books a year. And I'm doing a couple graphic novels. I'm doing a graphic novel series called Just Beyond. The new one just came out. And I'm doing a brand new series, a funny series, not scary, based on the Garbage Pail Kids.
how does funny work for you?
What? I've always been funny. I never wanted to be scary. I wrote about 100 joke books for kids. And I did a funny magazine, a humor magazine, for 10 years called Bananas. I was always just funny. And it's kind of embarrassing, but being scary wasn't even my idea. Someone suggested it to me.
Well, maybe this is all coming full circle for you.
It definitely is. But so only four Goosebumps a year is pretty relaxed. We used to do one a month. We do one every month. But now I can sort of take it easy.
Let's take another call now. Aaron is with us from Menominee Falls. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, yes, I was just going to say I grew up reading your books, and I love them completely, and I'll still go back to them every now and again. What were your thoughts on the movie adaptation of your books?
Oh, I was so happy with it. I got lucky, you know. The movies were actually good. They could have been horrible, but I was so pleased, and I thought Jack Black was so terrific. He's a great guy, and I was thrilled to be portrayed in that way. But I had no input in the two Goosebumps movies. Nobody ever asked the author any. They don't want you around. And they happen to turn out to be really good movies. I'm very proud of them.
Well, Aaron, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Jack now in Grafton. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
What are your favorite Goosebumps?
Well, I really like The Night in the Terror Tower and Why I Quit Zombie School.
Oh, two of my favorites. Hey, Jack, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about them, Jack?
Well, in The Night of the Terror Tower, I like how, like, there's a lot of suspense and all that.
Right. I always thought that was one of my scariest books, because here are these two kids, and they're trying to find their parents, and they go to a hotel to find them, and the guy at the hotel says, well, what are your names? And they can't remember their names. They don't know their last names. I always thought that would be really terrifying. I thought it was one of the scariest moments I ever wrote in Night of the Terror Tower.
Jack, do you read these books at night? When do you read them?
I usually read them at night. or when I wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever read, like, with a flashlight on, you know, under covers?
Yeah, I did once.
Yeah. Didn't go too well. What happens when you feel scary in a book? Do you keep reading or do you stop?
Well, I kind of keep reading sometimes because I'm like, I like want to see what's going to happen stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point of Goosebumps. You want to know what happens next. What happens next?
That's keep turning those. Keep turning those pages.
Yeah. What happens?
Well, Jack, thank you so much for calling in. Bob, do you remember the plot in all these hundreds of books you write?
Mostly. Mostly I do. But, you know, a lot of times kids, so, you know, Goosebumps, I've been doing it for 27 years. And a lot of times kids will ask me a very specific question. And then I, you know, look like an idiot because I don't know what they're talking about.
That's when you just should say, exactly.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. But I basically remember most of the plots, mainly because there are only six plots. Kate, where'd you go? What happened?
I was just looking at another kid. We have another kid on the line, not a ghost, a kid.
Good.
Let's go to Gunner now in Madison. Hi, Gunner.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering, what would a typical day for you be like?
Typical day? Well, I get up in the morning, read the newspaper, walk the dog, and then I sit down at my computer about, maybe 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I write 2,000 words. I don't get up until I've written 10 pages. I write 10 pages a day. Then I get up, and I'm totally brain dead. take the dog for another long walk. That's basically my day.
Gunner, do you write? Are you working on a book?
I have written a few little things in the past. Like
that's
I wrote
nice.
One funny thing called Zombie Space Cowboys. It's about alien zombies. Cowboys.
I love it. A great title.
That's a great title. Now, Gunner, that's you just great. Write from that title, or maybe Bob might take that title. We don't know yet. I mean, there.
I hope not. Gunner, how old are you?
I'm 10.
10? That's
almost
just when 11. I started. That's when I started writing. That's just when I started. I found an old typewriter. I dragged it to my room. And I'm 10 years old, and I'd be in all afternoon typing stories. I was a weird kid.
So what things were flying through your head when you were 10 and doing the typewriter in the attic?
I was writing joke books, joke funny magazines, funny little comics, funny scary stories even then. I just loved writing. I have no idea why. And my mother she didn't understand it at all. She'd be at the door and she'd say, "What's wrong with you? Go outside and play. Go outside." And I'd say, "It's boring out there." Type, 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 type.
Did you share the stories with her?
Yeah, I did. Mainly what I did little comic books and I would take them into school and pass them around to the other kids. I think just, you know, to get attention. I was a very shy kid, very shy, quiet kid. And I would pass these comics around. And people always ask me, did your teachers encourage you in your writing? And I always have to say, no, the teachers begged me to stop bringing them in. Please, Bob, please, don't bring these in anymore. They begged me to stop.
Did they confiscate them?
No, they didn't do that.
Okay. Let's go to Marcus in Platteville. Hi, Marcus.
My question is, when is Arlstein going to write a new book?
Well, the new one just came out. Diary of a Dummy is the new Goosebumps book. And my new graphic novel, my new comic book, Just Beyond, came out on Tuesday. It's called The Horror at Happy Landings. So the books keep coming. They just keep coming.
Marcus, it's just like a rainstorm. What's your favorite one?
My favorite one is The Night of the Living Dummy. And I like the TV show, too. The TV shows on Netflix.
Excellent. Marcus, thank you so much. We're talking with iconic Goosebumps author R.L. Stein. He lets us call him Bob. Do you like to tell scary stories? Is there one you'd like to tell us now? What did you used to be afraid of that you're not afraid of anymore? Here's the number to call, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't get too spooked. Don't go anywhere because it's R.L. Stein right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is music from the Goosebumps movie from 2015. Listen to that. Setting the mood for us. How lucky are we to spend the hour with best-selling children's author R.L. Stein, who's been creating nightmares for decades in his supernatural story world. Written well over 300 books for kids, he's giving us a fright on the radio. So much fun. You can ask him questions. Tell us your favorite scary story. Do you have summer campfires or sleep in a tent outside and tell stories with a flashlight? What is the best scary story you've ever read? Share with us. Here comes the number, 800-642-1234. And R.L. Stein stays with us and he lets us call him Bob. Let's take another call now. John is with us. Hi, John. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is your favorite story?
One Day at Horrorland.
Oh, John, I'm glad you like that one. It's very creepy, isn't it?
Yes.
Would you like to go to a park like that?
Maybe.
Maybe? Yeah, I'd have second thoughts, too.
What do you think of Slappy?
I like him.
Huh.
Sometimes he gets me shivering, I guess, but...
Yeah, I love writing him. The reason I love writing him is that he insults everybody, and I get to write great insults. He's so rude, and I love writing that.
Oh. Well, John, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Let's bring in Garrett now, who's joining us from Glenwood City. Hi, Garrett.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
How do you come up with your Goosebumps stories, and do you get the ideas from real life?
Only one. I've only gotten one Goosebumps book from real life, and that is when my son Matt was a little guy. He was real young, and it was Halloween time. And I was watching him. He was down on the floor in the middle of the room, and he was trying on a green rubber Frankenstein mask. And he pulled the mask down over his head, and he couldn't get it off. And I'm watching him. He's tugging, and he's tugging, and he can't get the mask off. And I thought, what a great idea for a story. I should have helped him, right? I should have helped him, but instead I went and said, oh, the haunted mask. And I began writing notes for what the book that became The Haunted Mask, where Carly Beth, this girl, wants to be scary at Halloween time, and she tries on a hideous, ugly, scary mask and then can't get it off. And that's the only book that it really came from something in real life.
Well, Garrett, I understand that you make comics of your own. How is it going?
Good. I've come up with a few of my own superheroes.
Who are they?
The two that I'm mostly using, they're called, I got it from a TV.
Uh-huh.
They're called TV Dude and Remote is a sidekick.
That's good. That's good.
I came up with a group of superheroes called the Colored Pencils, where they can they can draw what they need to fight crime.
Oh, that's excellent. That's really clever. I like that.
So, what did TV Dude and Remote? What kind of problems do they have? What do they have to solve?
In the first comic book, it was just TV Dude. He fought off these TV ads, like commercials.
right.
Of course he did. Yeah.
In the second one. It's called TV Dude Meets Remote when they become
partners. Yeah, the partners not in crime.
They're fighting off giant evil robot.
Oh, huh. Wow. Do you think you're going to continue it?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Garrett, thank you so much for calling in. Bob, do you have any tips for kids who do like to make comics and joke books? What would be your advice to them?
Well, my advice is if you really enjoy doing it, just do it every day. Do a little bit every day, and you'll find you get better and better the more you do it. If you do it every once in a while and you're not too into it, you're not really going to improve. But if you do something every day, it helps a lot.
So you have to really exercise that muscle.
Yeah.
When you went off to college, you really stuck with your love of humor. You were mentioning you edited your school's humor magazine, and then you went on with Bananas, a funny magazine. Mm-hmm. How did you decide that you were going to turn a corner and you know, write about horror?
See, this is an embarrassing story because it wasn't my idea. What actually happened was my funny magazine had come to an end, and I was home writing different things. And I had lunch with a friend of mine who was a publisher at Scholastic. And she came to lunch angry. She'd had a fight with another teen horror writer. And she sat down and she said, "I'm never working with him again. I'll bet you could write a good, scary horror story. Why don't you go home?" It was her idea. "Why don't you go home and write a book for teenagers called Blind Date?" And I didn't know what she was talking about. What did she mean, teen horror? What was that? I didn't know. But of course I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And I ran to the bookstore to get books to see what other people were doing in teen horror. And I went home and I spent 3 months and I wrote this book, the scary book, Blind Date. And a year later it came out and it was a number one bestseller.
And that was Fear Street. Yeah, Fear Street series.
This was just separate.
Fear Street
came a little bit later.
Okay.
But I'm here. And then a year later I wrote one called Twisted, another number one bestseller. And I said, "Forget the funny stuff. I've been scary ever since. Kids like the scary stuff much better."
Do you think there's a connection, though, between thinking something is funny and being scared by something?
Yeah, I think it's very close. I think it's very close connection. Because I treat all my chapter endings in these scary books as punchlines. I think they're all funny. But, you know, when you sneak up on somebody and you go, "Boo," the first thing they do is gasp, right? Mm. And then the second thing they do is laugh. And I think it's just very closely the same visceral reaction.
We're talking with Bob Stein, author of the Goosebumps Fear Street series as well. You can join in with your questions about Goosebumps or questions about how to become a children's writer. Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. So, Bob, in the graphic novel realm, how have you adjusted your writing to graphic novels?
Well, it's kind of fun because I was a comic book freak when I was a kid. I loved comic books, so it's really nice for me. What a nice thing to be able to write some. The writing is different in that I don't have to really describe anything. For me, when I write, describing things are the hard part. I'm not really good. I don't have that writer's eye. I'm not that good at description. But when you write a comic book, the artist has to come up with the way everything looks. And I can just write, he walks through the forest, and I don't have to describe, you know, what the forest looks like. The artist has to do it. So it's mostly like writing a script. It's just like mostly dialogue, which is what I enjoy. So I'm having fun writing these just beyond comics. I'm having a lot of fun.
Do you find that you venture out into new plots that way when you do have the imagery with you as you're telling these stories?
Yes. Well, you try to be more visual and try to think of it in terms of visual. I don't necessarily do that when I'm writing Goosebumps. And so it's fun. You could, in a way, you can do a lot more because you know the artist is going to create whatever world you tell them.
So, Bob, does your editor ever get mad at you and stomp out? Do you ever have to do rewrites?
Kate, I'm married to my editor. No, I am, for real. I'm married to my editor. It's a nightmare.
Oh, dear. How does that work?
Sitting right here, but it's a nightmare. He's a very tough editor. I never get away with anything. And a long time ago, we tried writing books together, Jane and I. And we wrote a funny book we were working called The Sick of Being Sick Book. And we were trying to collaborate on this book. And it turned out we had totally different ways of working. I shouldn't tell this story. No way I should tell this story. And so it was a lot of yelling, right? And at one point, Jane locked me in the closet and left the apartment.
Oh, dear.
She couldn't take it anymore. She just locked me in the closet.
Oh, dear. Well, I hope...
Talk about your horror story.
I hope Slappy wasn't in that closet.
This was a long time before Slappy was born. Anyway, she did let me out eventually. We decided maybe we shouldn't write together.
Oh, well, that's a good story to know there, that you have some independence. We have the famous Goosebumps series author R.L. Stine. He's still here taking your questions. Here are a few of the titles over the decades that started books. Lost in Stink Eye Swamp, Shop Till You Drop Dead, Alone in Snakebite Canyon. Keep sharing your favorite Goosebumps stories and what story is no longer scary to you. Here's the number, still time to call if you dare, 800-642-1234. Send an email. We'll read it. ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back in a minute. Count to 60 slappies right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Here's a good song from the Goosebumps movie. It's called Rescue. Isn't it nice when your favorite character is rescued, when they make it out alive and safe? Talk about a crazy day for those middle school kids caught up in the Goosebumps world. There's still time to talk with the person who wrote all of the Goosebumps books. R.L. Stine stays with us, and he lets us call him Bob. So, Bob, you mentioned earlier that you follow six stories. Do you mean six plots or six?
Oh, I was joking.
Okay.
I said there are only six plots. That's it. That's a joke.
Okay. Well, see, you know, you're getting into this joke and scary business. It's a murky water. We don't know what's in that water.
No, it's true. People just expect me to be scary. I'm not too scary. When I walk into schools, kids always groan. Who's that? He's not scary at all.
Do you like those? I mean, now not with COVID, but do you normally like those school visits?
Yeah, I love it. I'm one of those authors who likes getting out and talking to my readers. It's just one of the most fun things for me. It's terrific.
Well, Sorrel from Madison says that they tell their partner's granddaughter scary stories, but they're either not scary enough or Sorrel overdoes it, and then she can't sleep at night. So how do you make your story scary but not too scary and cross the line?
Well, what I do is you have to know that my stories could never happen. I make sure you know they could never be real. So then I can get pretty scary because you know it couldn't happen. And the other thing I do is I put in a lot of funny stuff. And if I think a scene is getting really intense and maybe too scary, I throw in some funny twist.
Well, that's where your jokes come in a little bit.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
I don't really want to terrify kids. I hate it when parents come up to me and they say, "Oh, your books gave my kids nightmares." I hate that. I don't want to give them nightmares. We just want to, you know, entertain them.
How do you feel about cliffhangers?
Well, every chapter in my books ends in a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Every single chapter. And then you have to say, oh, no, I didn't. I have to go on to the next chapter. I have to see what happens next. And that's my little trick for keeping kids reading all the way through.
Yeah, you just keep them moving from chapter to chapter.
Yeah.
How do you know what works and what doesn't? I mean, you know, Slappy has taken on a whole world of himself, but
yeah,
do you ever know if something just doesn't work? Like, you have some secret market research going on?
No. The market research is you put the book on sale. You put the book in the store. That's the market research. No, you never know. I never know. I have a couple of really favorite Goosebumps books that no kids ever mention. I did a Goosebumps book that I love called Brain Juice, about these kids who drink this purple liquid and get smarter and smarter and smarter, and it ruins their lives. They're too smart for everyone. I love that book, but no one ever mentions it.
Do you remember what year that came out?
No.
Okay. Do you drink any brain juice or anything special to keep keep writing?
I can use it, believe me. No, since I was nine, I just love it. I don't know why. And I, after all these books, I still look forward to getting up and sitting down and writing more pages. I still love it.
What do you read for relaxation?
I read mostly mysteries and thrillers. I'm in the International Thriller Writers, and it's a group of thriller writers, and we all get together every summer. And I know most of these people, Lee Child and Harlan Coben and Michael Connelly and all these big thriller writers. And I've gotten to know all of them, and I love their books.
And then so you get together for a book group in the summer?
Yeah. Not this summer, but we all meet in New York in a hotel, like 400 thriller writers.
Wow.
We all get together and have panels and parties and give out awards, and it's really fun. It's called Thriller Fest.
So when you were a kid, were you sketching at all at the same time that you were writing? Did you dabble in artwork?
Oh, I tried. I wanted to do comic books, and I'd bring them in, and everyone would say, "Your comics are awful. They're terrible." And I'd look around, and everyone could draw better than me. Everyone. I was awful. I had no talent. I guess I had to be a writer, right?
When did you realize that you're going to have to let that piece of it go? Because you loved the comics. You liked passing those out to your friends.
I started when I was 9, and I had to let it go when I was 10. Yeah.
Oh. Well, do you have a favorite setup for getting into the writing mood? Like, what does your desk look like?
My office is good. I have a skeleton, a human-sized skeleton. I have a 3-foot-long cockroach in my office.
Oh.
You don't see that every day, right?
No, that's pretty
impressive. I have all kinds of eyeballs, and I have a Slappy dummy, and I have a dummy of me, and they sit side by side. And my office is a lot of fun, and a lot of Goosebumps games and all kinds of merchandise and things we've done over the years. But I'm a writing machine. I could be anywhere. I just like it. I can be anywhere and just write my 10 pages every day. It doesn't really matter to me. I had a friend who wrote teen horror, and she wrote on a haunted desk and had to have creepy music playing while she wrote. And I thought, why? What for? I don't need any of that.
You're much more versatile. Let's go to Christina now, who's joining us from Glenwood. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, you have such a wild and interesting imagination. I'm wondering, what kind of dog do you have?
What kind of dog do I have?
Yeah.
Did you ask that?
We're dog people here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah? Well, so am I. I've had dogs my whole life. We have King Charles.
Oh, beautiful.
A ruby King Charles named Minnie.
Minnie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're out at our summer house, and Minnie loves to swim. She would, like, spend hours in the pool. Just take herself for swims.
Well, Bob, what scares you these days? You know what?
Well,
what gives you the creeps?
Everyone knows what's. Don't say that.
Well, will the pandemic appear in your books?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Way too real and scary.
Yeah.
Here's the scariest thing that ever happened to me. Okay.
Okay.
The scariest moment of my life. My son Matt was real little. It's like 4. And I take him to the automobile show in New York City at the convention center. It's thousands of people and hundreds of cars, enormous place, and I lost him. That's the scariest moment of my life, right? This horrible moment of panic. He's just gripped with it. And I looked around. There's no sign of Matt, no sign of him. And I think the whole thing lasted maybe 30 seconds. But it was terrifying. And then finally I spotted him over by a car, right? And I went running over to him. I said, Matt, are you okay? And he said, where were you, Dad? I was about to call the manager. See, he was a New York kid. I shouldn't have worried about him, right?
Well,
that was the scariest moment of my life, for real.
We only have a few moments left, but can you give us some encouraging words for those kids out there who are trying to get a jump start on their own creative writing?
Yeah, it's hard. I think here's my only advice. I mean, I'm terrible with advice. I always think people who really want to write don't need any advice. They're like me. They'll be in their room typing. But my only advice is to really enjoy it, to love it while you're doing it. I hate it when authors talk and they say, oh, writing is so hard. Writing is hard. It's terrible. And I think, what's hard about it? Mm. If you want to do it, you should just love it. Just enjoy it. And if you go in with that attitude, you'll be a good writer.
Oh, Bob, thank you for joining us.
Kate, I really enjoyed talking with everyone.
R.L. Stine, author of the Goosebumps series of horror books for kids, one of the best-selling children's authors in history. Be back here next week. We have the Wild Kratts. Get out of town. Martin Kratt is going to take us on a creature adventure you won't want to miss. That's next Friday at this time. Just ahead, it's On Point. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We get Goosebumps sometimes on the morning show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.